The reading is taken from the book of Ruth, chapter 1, beginning to read at the first verse, page 267 in the church Bibles. In the days when the judges ruled, there was a famine in the land. So a man from Bethlehem in Judah, together with his wife and two sons, went to live for a while in the country of Moab. The man's name was Elimelech. His wife's name was Naomi, and the names of his two sons were Mahlon and Chilion. They were Ephrathites from Bethlehem, Judah, and they went to Moab and lived there. Now Elimelech, Naomi's husband, died, and she was left with her two sons. They married Moabite women, one named Orpah and the other Ruth. After they had lived there for about 10 years, both Mahlon and Chilion also died, and Naomi was left without her two sons and her husband. When Naomi heard in Moab that the Lord had come to the aid of his people by providing food for them, she and her daughters-in-law prepared to return home from there. With her two daughters-in-law, she left the place where she had been living and set out on the road that would take them back to the land of Judah. Then Naomi said to her two daughters-in-law, "Go back, each of you, to your mother's home. May the Lord show you kindness as you have shown kindness to your dead husbands and to me. May the Lord grant that each of you will find rest in the home of another husband." Then she kissed them goodbye, and they wept aloud and said to her, "We will go back with you to your people." But Naomi said, "Return home, my daughters. Why would you come with me? Am I going to have any more sons who would become your husbands? Return home, my daughters. I am too old to have another husband. Even if I thought there was still hope for me, even if I had a husband tonight and then gave birth to sons, would you wait until they grew up? Would you remain unmarried for them? No, my daughters, it is more bitter for me than for you, because the Lord's hand has turned against me." At this, they wept aloud again. Then Orpah kissed her mother-in-law goodbye, but Ruth clung to her. "Look," said Naomi, "your sister-in-law is going back to her people and her gods. Go back with her." But Ruth replied, "Don't urge me to leave you or to turn back from you. Where you go, I will go. And where you stay, I will stay. Your people will be my people, and your God, my God. Where you die, I will die, and there I will be buried. May the Lord deal with me, be it ever so severely, if even death separates you and me." When Naomi realized that Ruth was determined to go with her, she stopped urging her. This is the word of the Lord. Thanks be to God.
I'd like to say thank you so much for inviting me today, and especially I'd like to say thank you for your prayers and for your support. Joe and I have come back, and we've returned to England, as we say, for good, meaning not for bad. It's extremely strange. I don't feel that England is my home anymore. I find the roads absolutely terrifying, and you think you would find the Indian roads terrifying, and I'm afraid I find the British roads terrifying. Roundabouts, I haven't driven so many times. We don't have roundabouts in India. And the speed at which, I'm sorry, some of you drive onto the roundabouts, you need to slow down. So But we want to thank you. The Lord did amazing things in India because of your prayers, in fact. For Matt and Sam, we loved having them there. And actually, they were such a blessing to me and to the community. I had to leave after a few days after Matt joined the department. And he was asked to do a web page by one of my colleagues, Binu. And she was expecting him to take quite a long time, and I think he took a day or a day and a half, and it was produced. And I got a message on my phone saying, Matt is a genius. And when I got back, I said to her, I said, well, I told you he'd be good. And the Easter Day play would not have been the same. I can assure you it would not have been the same without Sam, who took an absolutely appalling dance and turned it around in 24 hours. I'm aware that I come to the church at a time which is actually devastating for you. And I do want to say that we pray for you and how sorry we are for all of you in the church. And as I was praying as to what to talk about this morning, I'll just set my timer. It was the book of Ruth. I love the book of Ruth. But I really asked the Lord if I could not speak on this chapter. This chapter just seemed so raw and very close to home. And I looked for other things, but I'm afraid I wasn't let off. So I would like to share from this book, which is actually, it challenges me to the core. And humbly, I ask that the Lord would take the words that I say today and by his Holy Spirit would minister to each of you. The book, I've put it here, is a book I've found full of choice, of character. This is living under God, actually in difficult times and in hard circumstances. Choice, our character, trust, and sacrificial love. As was read, it's set in the time of the judges. I think in the time of the judges, the Lord's heart must have been breaking because it was a time of apostasy. His people were turning from him. And as it says in Judges itself, that every man was doing what seemed right in his own eyes. In Deuteronomy, God gives the people laws. They're supposed to be separate, not to just, you know, wag a finger at somebody, but to show who God is. And the people are supposed to look at the nation and say, oh, what nation has laws like this? What nation has a God like this? And here we have the people ignoring all of that, moving away. And I started to think and I thought, you know, for the nation, God created them as people. He called them. He led them. He saved them. He provided for them. He made a covenant. They were his covenant people. He fought for them. And he settled them. And after all of that, they are now turning to Baal. And Baal means master. And they are now calling Baal their master. And they're turning to Ashtoreth for their provision in the land. And I was thinking, what would it be like today, Lord, what is something that we can think of? And I thought of a family, you know, and after mom and dad, and they have provided everything for their children, and their children then suddenly turn round at an older age and say, well, actually, I'm not going to call you mom and dad anymore. I'm not going to recognize you as mom and dad. Actually, the neighbors who've moved next door, who I don't know, I'm going to call them mom and dad. And I'm going to look to them for everything. And that would break a parent's heart. So this is the time that it is set in. And then we have three remarkable people. And we only have time to look at two of them this morning. But before we do that, if we can put up a picture on the overhead projector. This is, I love looking at some of these pictures from NASA, and this is the Butterfly Nebula. And just let me tell you some facts about the Butterfly Nebula. I'm just praying that there's nobody who's really a great astronomer, who's going to tell me, no, you've got some of these things wrong. Let me tell you about it. What resembles dainty butterfly wings are actually rolling cauldrons of gas heated to more than 20,000 degrees centigrade. The gas is tearing across space at more than 516 miles an hour, fast enough to get from Earth to the Moon in 24 minutes. The blood of butterfly stretches for 2 light years. Now, that may not seem very much, but that is the equivalent of 11.7 trillion miles. 2 light years. And it lies within our Milky Way galaxy, which is roughly 3,800 light years away. These are figures that, it's incredible. This is within our galaxy, and there are other galaxies, and there is a universe. Why am I saying this? Because in chapter 1, verse 1, it says, "And a man from Bethlehem in Judah." The Lord, Yahweh, who created the universe, who knows these mind-boggling figures that I can't even get my head around. A butterfly nebula, the Crab Nebula, who created the planets, these galaxies, the world, the nations, is the God of a certain man. It's amazing. What you do and what I do is important to the God who created the universe. He holds all of that together, but he holds me together also. And then we find that we could actually think about, I could think about for a long time. Then we find that there is a famine in the land. This is Bethlehem. Why is there a famine in the land? This is House of Bread. This is some of the most fertile land around. And we have a famine. And partly, we won't do it today, but if you look at the beginning of the story of Gideon, it tells us why. Now imagine for a minute that this side of the church, okay, is at war with this side of the church, okay, and you want to conquer them, right? You're not, okay, this is imaginary. What would you do if you want... you want to conquer them? Well, you cut off their food supply. So you burn their crops and you destroy everything that they plant. And the land was becoming ravaged because of these wars, because that's what was happening. Crops were being planted and they were being burnt. So after some time of this, the land actually is destroyed. And we have a famine in what should be one of the best places for crop growing. So Elimelech decides, because of the famine, and the famine is a result of wars, which is a result of turning from God, he says, we'll go and live in Moab. And whether they should have gone to Moab or not, we can't discuss this morning. And we find that the boys, after Elimelech's death, married 2 Moabite women, which also is for debate, but we won't discuss that this morning. But then after some time, both Mahlon and Chilion die. And what we have left are 3 very vulnerable women. It cannot be overstated. They have no rights. They have no status. They have a very unknown future. More importantly, they have no protector. As these 3 women in that time without their husbands. The kind of wording that is usually associated with this is loneliness, abandonment, and helplessness. There is nothing that these ladies can do. They're, what hope for the future? It looks very dark. And is there a future? That also is in debate. Naomi then hears that the Lord has come to the aid of the people. She doesn't say the weather's changed, things have got a bit better, we've got a new leader, there's a new ruler. She attributes the land now having food to the Lord coming to the aid of his people. And I love Naomi because at the center of things, she knows that God is in control of all, which is partly why she says what she says later. And she says, well, they should return. And they begin to set off, and then Naomi stops. And she suddenly says to these girls, you need to go back home. You don't come to Israel with me. It's a very treacherous journey. There are bandits around. There are wild animals around. Who does she trust in to take her back to Bethlehem? I can only think the Lord. But she says to the girls, you need to go back. Why would she want to say that? Because these are Moabite girls. They're going to be coming into Israel. You cannot force people to come to Israel. We cannot force people to come to the Lord. It is a heart change. And she gives them a choice. Because coming, as it were, into Israel, if we think about it as coming to the Lord, has to be a person's choice. What will happen if they return home? Well, they will have security. They can, from the passage, it would seem that they can be remarried. They are young. That would mean that they could have a family. So returning back to their mother's house where they would be accepted and secure, they could have a hope and they could have a future. Now this is all taking God, Yahweh, out of the picture. This is just some natural thinking. What happens if they go to Israel? What awaits them? Would they be accepted? There's actually great animosity between Israel and Moab. Although they are distant relatives, the amount of animosity that was there between the two peoples cannot be overestimated. It was intense. So would they be accepted in Israel? A very unknown factor. Would there be hostility? Quite possibly. More than that, for this young girl, for these young girls, would remarriage be a possibility in the natural course of things? No. An Israelite man is not going to marry a Moabite woman. What about, will they be safe? Very possibly not. And that comes because we know that, if we know that, we know the story, many of us, that when actually Ruth finds herself in the field of Boaz, he says, you stay here, because in another man's field you may be harmed. Moabite, young Moabite woman in Israel, maybe fair game. Remember, we're in the period of the judges, where they are not obeying God's law. And this journey ahead is treacherous. So Orpah says, yeah, I'm going to return to my family. But Ruth clings to Naomi. And she says, your God will be my God. As well as saying, where you go, I will go. And it would seem, according to the commentaries, that it's not, well, I'm moving to Israel, therefore I'm going to take on your God. Because people thought that gods had areas. And it's not just, well, I'm going to move there. It's actually far more than that. Ruth has seen something of Yahweh. And this actually is a statement of faith. And that becomes clear later on in the chapters. So she's not saying, well, I'm moving to Israel, therefore, okay, well, I'll have Yahweh as my God. There is a statement of faith there that she is coming to live under Yahweh. And this is what challenges me. When this young Moabite lady who has come to know something of the Lord, I mean, this is where she is in Scripture. You know, we have this book, and here is where Ruth is. And she's from a Moabite background, a family which a word of worship, Chemosh, who had child sacrifice. And what does she do? She actually wavers everything. She wavers her rights. She actually wavers her dreams. Because in the natural course of things, there is nothing waiting for her in Israel. Nothing. Except maybe abuse and hostility. But she's come under Yahweh. And going with her mother-in-law and looking after her mother-in-law is the right thing to do. She chooses to sacrificially, for love, to sacrificially give up her life. And I think of where I am. I'm beyond here. I know that Jesus sacrificially gave up his life for me. I have the Holy Spirit. And yet, I look at this and I think, she's trusting in Yahweh and she's trusting in Naomi. And I think of myself and I think, what are the choices? Am I living sacrificially like this? Is it this bit sacrificially, but, well, Lord, I need to keep this bit. I'm not sure. Am I really trusting? And the wonderful thing is, and the Lord does this time and time again in his scripture, is we have the time of the judges, and the people in Israel who were his covenant people, he led out of Egypt. They have the history. They know the history. They are not living under Yahweh as they should. And here we have a Moabite young lady who is actually showing them how life should be lived under Yahweh in difficult times. That's why this book challenges me. Let me move on. So they arrive. They arrive back in Bethlehem, and the whole town is shocked. And they say, is this Naomi? I think Naomi looked as if she'd been through the mill, which she has. Her appearance has changed. And Naomi says, don't call me Naomi, which means pleasant, but call me Mara, because the Almighty has made my life bitter. Now my question was, Lord, is she bitter or is her life bitter? I love Naomi for her honesty. She has no British stiff upper lip and says, you know, yes, yes, well, it'll be all fine. Or yes, yes, well, of course, the Lord will see me through. She says, my life's misery. My life's bitter. Look at what I've lost. Who can say anything else? Of course it's bitter. And then she says, the Lord Almighty has made it bitter. And that's because, she said, Yahweh had come to the aid of his people because he is in control. Could he have stopped it? Yes, he could. She says that because he is the Almighty. He is Yahweh. He's God. So he could have done something about it. So my life is bitter. But is she bitter? And this is where it changes. I don't believe she's bitter. And that is because of this change. Every time until now, she is called God Yahweh. And now she changes to Shaddai. And Shaddai has uses which she would have known, previous uses which describe God And let me tell you what they are. One is used in Genesis 17, verse 1, and is where God speaks to Abraham at the age of 99 with the promise of children. And God says, I am Shaddai. And this is God who transforms helplessness into blessing. And I really think it's these three things, if nothing else is heard today, I think it's these three things. I really had a sense that the Lord wants his church here to hear this morning. God, Shaddai, who transforms man's helplessness into blessing for man's good and for God's glory. The second time it's used is in Genesis 43. And this is when Joseph has seen his brothers in Egypt and he sent them back and he's kept one brother and he sent the others back and he said, I want you to bring your youngest brother, Benjamin, back with you. And they go back to old Jacob and they say, actually, we all have to go back. And we have to take. So all the boys have gone. And this is what Jacob says. May Shaddai, God Almighty, grant you mercy before the man, so he will let your other brother and Benjamin come back with you. And this is hope of God's protection in times of uncertainty. And the last use is in Genesis 49:25, which is God who blesses although we go through terrible times. God who transforms man's helplessness into blessing for man's good and for God's glory. Hope of God's protection in times of uncertainty. And God who blesses in the midst of terrible times. And J.A. Moitier referred to Shaddai as God who is at his best when man is at his worst. And as I was reading this, a picture came to me. And what that picture was, it was a box. And of what Naomi did is, has she got troubles? Yes. Has she got questions? Lots of them. Has she got pain? Massively. But what she has done is she has put that into the box and she has surrounded all of that with what she knows to be true of God. And then the question came to me of, what do I do? What do we commonly do? And I think sometimes what I do and sometimes some of us commonly do is we put God in the box. And we box him in with the questions and the pain and the troubles. And it's almost only once he's answered all of that do we allow him out of the box to be God again. I love Naomi's honesty, but I love Naomi's theology. She puts all that she has and surrounds it with what she knows to be true of the living God. She knows God. She asked for blessing for a Moabite girl in Moab. She knows that Yahweh is not stopped by boundaries. She knows her Lord. And so I thought, are we living actually in the time of the judges? It's very similar. This country that we've come back to is very different to the one we left. I feel it is similar to the time of the judges. And the question that comes to me is, God cares about my choices. How do I live with all that is happening in these difficult times and when tragedy strikes? And I have choices to make. Can I live under God, making the right choices? Can I live under God in these times with a character that would display honestly, with an honest character, that in a sense sometimes displays my weakness but God's strength. But to others who don't know the Lord, that they can look and say, oh, I don't know a God like that. Is my trust fully in God, or is it also in other things? And for the Lord, of course, we get to the end of the book, which we can't do today, and it's that just wonderful picture of Jesus as our kinsman redeemer, who takes these women with no hope and no future and gives them a hope and a future. And that's what God has done to us. Even this woman who was an enemy, it says we were enemies once of God, and he's taken us, and he's also called us, and he's led us, and he's fought for us, and he's settled us, and he's our kinsman redeemer who has saved us. Can I reflect something of my heavenly Father in the way that I live my life? And it challenges me to be honest and to sacrifice. Let's pray. Father, we want to thank you. We want to thank you that these two women not only challenge us, but show us Shaddai, God, who is with us through everything, who takes our helplessness and who blesses us, who protects us in our times of uncertainty. And Father, we want to praise you and ask that you would help us to be the people you want us to be, living under you in difficult times, in tragic circumstances. May we know your strength, and may we glorify your name, and may people come to know Shaddai because of us, and you working by your Holy Spirit. And we ask this in Jesus' name. Amen.